And now, the Take 12 Recovery Radio Kitty Choir with their rendition of Auld Lang Syne. To 2024 and season 20 of the Take 12 Recovery Radio Shows. This station is not affiliated, nor do we represent any particular 12-step fellowship. The opinions on this show are ours and may not be yours. Now, here's your host, me, the Monty Man. That's right. Happy New Year, or should I say Gnome Year. Yeah. And here's my brand new 2014 gnome with pigtails. If you're not watching on YouTube, you're missing out. You really are. This was gifted to me by our other co-host, Mr. Dave Fleming. We haven't got a name for this one yet. So if you can think of a name, send it in. Send
your rap gnome.
Send
the dreadlocks.
Rap gnome. Dreadlocks. Send it into take12radiocomcast.net and we might consider it. Okay, that's enough of that. Well, happy gnome year. New year. I can't get my head out of the gnomes. Welcome aboard. Roger McDiarmid from Huntington Beach, California is on the phone and online and on the internet and on our video
chat.
I'm
just on, Monty.
You are on.
For 2024.
You are on. Roger, do you believe in resolutions or no?
No, not anymore.
Okay. Well, we're going
to
talk.
I mean, when I say that, there are things that I'm aware of that I need to work on and change.
Yeah.
But the whole idea of making New Year's resolutions, because I never did them. I'd make them and never do them. So
right.
I don't make them. I just set out on a course to change whatever I need to change.
Well, we're going to be talking about five powerless resolutions. I like talking about powerlessness because addiction is about powerlessness, but recovery is about
power.
Wait a minute. Power. I wasn't too quick on the draw there.
That was a little slow on the
A little slow. Oh, my goodness sakes. All righty.
Monty Man, I would like to take us into the next part of the show, if I can.
Sure. Go ahead, Cecil.
Okay. Here we go. Welcome to the voice of cauliflower. Such a tasteless food. And it's really no good.
That's for sure.
Much like Monty's whining, it's hard to stomach there.
Oh, brother.
What you're about to hear in the brand new year.
That's right. It is the first Monty Man's weekly whine of the new year.
Here we go.
Where I get to whine about something I'm powerless over. Like this music, for instance. Stop. Thank you. How'd you like the Kitty Choir? Weren't they great?
They were great.
Hey, listen, before I get into the weekly whine, I just got to give a shout-out to an awesome church service that Marcia and I attended yesterday at Fairview Mennonite Church here in Albany. Pastor Brendan Funk, a friend of ours, and a gentleman that volunteered out at the Adult and Teen Challenge Center for some time when I was education coordinator out there. Man, what a refreshing service. The church actually had pews. I love pews. I can get in and out of pews so much easier. It was packed. It wasn't overly large. Probably 300 people there, but it wasn't like you know, 1,500. Nothing wrong with that. It's just I prefer a little smaller group. We sang some of the older songs, not necessarily hymnal songs, but a little older in the Christian contemporary area. And the songs were worship songs pointing to Jesus. They weren't Christian love songs about everything he's done for me. You know, there's a difference there. And it was so refreshing. And the message was superb. It was on eldership and deaconship and what that looks like in Scripture. And I'm going to be actually having coffee with Pastor Brandon here on the 9th. But gosh, it was just a refreshing service. I mean, I felt like I was back in church instead of being at a concert. You know what I'm saying, Roger?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. It was intimate. Yep. It was nice. The people were so friendly. It was great. So I thought I'd give a shout out to those guys. And I think Brandon might even be listening to the show. We'll see. But let's move on with the weekly wine. Website hours of business versus the actual hours of business. I don't know if you've ever run into this. But I can't remember what we were getting. We had to go to, should I dare say the name of the store? What do you think, Roger? Should I say it?
No.
Okay, I'll say it. Walmart.
I knew you would if I said, yeah.
Walmart. I think they can take the hit. I looked up on the internet, and the website hours said New Year's Eve or whatever hours, holiday hours, right? And it said they were open until 9. So we pull into the parking lot. Of course, I'm totally oblivious that there's no cars in the parking lot except for ours. It's totally oblivious to that. You know, you think I'd get a clue, right? So we pull up, and Marsha gets out. There is one car. It's a security guard. Marsha gets out and walks to the front door, and of course it's locked. Now it's all they have lights on inside, so it looks like they're open. And by the time she gets back to the car, the security guard says, "Oh, by the way, they're closed. They've been closed all day." And it's like, you couldn't tell us that before we walked to the front. You're sitting right there. But I kind of blame myself because I was oblivious to the fact that we were the only car in a parking lot. But doggone it, look at, you're a big enough corporation. Stay on top of your website, would you? So I looked back on my phone and got to the website. Sure enough, open till 9 p.m. Nope. Update your hours, Walmart. Get with it. The other one was Amazon return policies. I have no complaint with Amazon return policies. I've had to use it a couple of times, and it's always worked out well. Kohl's, I think, was the only store in town for a while that did that. And you would take the item in. Didn't have to be in its original package or anything. You just take it in. You give them the QR code that Amazon gives you online. They scan it. They give you a receipt. There you go. You don't even have to wrap and package it up. And you don't pay for shipping or anything. And so Staples, our local Staples store, is now doing that as well, which is just down the street from our house. And I thought, this is great. So we had a game that I bought Marsha for Christmas, and some of the pieces were defective. And so we were sending it back to Amazon. And I went into Staples, and I asked the guy at the register, I said, "Where do you return the Amazon returns?" And he pointed to a sign at the end of the building. And so I went over there, and I stood there, and I stood there, and I stood there, as this lady was talking about her day with a customer, but not talking about business, just like, you know, we had a party and we did this. And we did. I'm just sitting there. I'm going, and she looks over at me, and then she starts talking to her friend again. And I'm like, wow. And then another lady came up. She goes, "Were you ahead of me?" And I go, "Yeah, but you can go ahead of me. That's fine." And she goes, "Well, I don't know if anybody's going to come help us. So I looked over at the lady and said, are you the one that we talked to about the returns? Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then she went back to talk to her friend. So here's my question. Have you noticed that when it comes to customer service, that we've lost a lot of the integrity with people that are in customer service? As far as, I mean, all she had to do was look over and says, I'll be with you in just a second. And that had been fine. But I'm noticing that that kind of courtesy, we're not being afforded it anymore. Have you noticed that, Raj?
I think it's a general statement about our society.
Yes.
Those kinds of things that we grew up knowing as being normal and how you would respond in a situation like that seemingly have disappeared for the most part. Not always. I mean,
no, not always.
But yeah, there seems to be a lack of attention to customer care, customer service. For the most part. Yeah, I would agree with that.
So I think she may be dating the lady at the counter, may be dating the security guard over at Walmart. I'm not sure. but it's like a lack of attention to detail, a lack of attention to ethics, just normal polite. Because Marcia says, well, you know, it's a different time. And she's right. It is a different time.
Well, it is a different time. That's for
wow.
sure.
Wow. It really, really is. So, yeah, there you go. That really a huge whine. It's nothing earth-shattering. But there you go. Walmart and Staples, get your act together. All right. That's enough of that. We'll be back.
Don't
with
go
the topic.
Away. Take 12 Recovery Radio. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's the Monty Man. As a board-certified recovery mentor and educator, it has been my privilege to read and review some of the most influential pieces of literature on the topic of recovery. But one such book stands tall above the rest. The book, 12 Essential Insights for Emotional Sobriety, by our good friend and Take 12 Recovery Radio contributor, Dr. Alan Berger. If you've ever felt stuck in your recovery, stagnant, or just plain bored, I want you to get a copy of this amazing book. It has raised my recovery to new heights, and it is sure to do the same for you. To receive an autographed copy of 12 Essential Insights for Emotional Sobriety, visit abphd.com. This book is also available on Amazon.
Caffeine. I'm begging you, caffeine keeps me awake.
Hey, Monty Man, before the show, did you have your cup of coffee? I have my cup of coffee. Did you have your coffee? I need some more coffee. Don't you need some more coffee? Oh, wait. I'm exhausted. Now back to our show.
Yeah.
Caffeine, I know you.
Thanks, Cecil. Yeah, drinking our Black Rifle coffee today. I have definitely had my coffee. Are you drinking coffee this morning, today there, Roger Dodger? Yeah, indeed. Black Rifle Coffee, we love those guys. They don't pay for us to advertise for them or anything. We just love them because it's coffee made by veterans for you, the American public. Visit their website at blackriflecoffee.com or follow the link at take12radio.com at the base of our page. So I want to give a shout out, and we're going to hear from a friend of Take 12 Recovery Radio and a very well-known actor, Sir Anthony Hopkins. Here's Anthony.
Hello there. Happy New Year to you all you revelers and drinkers and all having fun. Wonderful. Happy New Year. Have a great time. If you get a hangover, remember me. I don't get them anymore because 48 years ago today, I stopped. I got help for it. And my life changed. I don't envy you having fun out there, but if you need help, day at a time, life is in session. Go for it.
Go for it. A day at a time, Anthony Hopkins, life is in session, celebrating today 48 years without
wow.
a drink.
Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Sir Anthony Hopkins. Yeah, wow. Congratulations, 48 years. Gosh. Woohoo!
Yeah, he goes to a meeting down here somewhere that I... someday I hope I'll be able to sit with him.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great? Yeah.
Yeah.
What a good deal. Good deal. So congratulations, Anthony, Sir Anthony. You have earned that title, and what an amazing actor. I have to show you that. Again, if you're not watching on YouTube, you're missing out. I got this for Christmas. It's an electric stapler, but it looks like the alien. Doesn't it look like the alien?
It does look like the alien. I'm just like, what are you holding? An alien.
I don't think that's what the alien sounds like. You
should have the alien music soundtrack playing.
Oh, my goodness sakes. All right. And the reason I love staplers, I fell in love with staplers after I saw the movie Office Space years ago. Do you remember that movie? Office Space? The guy had his stapler, and he coveted it, and he held it to his chest, and when he got fired, he had to take his stapler with him. It was great. What a great movie. The topic. Let me see here. Am I on task? Yes, I think I am. The topic, powerless resolutions. So before we talk about five powerless resolutions, I came across some resolutions that children have made for this year that I thought were very interesting. Here's one. I will attempt to break the Guinness record for the longest and loudest burp.
That's a resolution.
That's okay. A resolution. I resolved to walk on my hands for one whole day. Okay. I resolved to go to school with my clothes on backwards and see if anybody notices. I like that. That's cool. That's very
cool. That's a Monty-ism right there.
Yeah, it is. I will blow bubbles in my milk until just before I get in trouble. Parents, you may not want your children to hear this. I don't know. I will communicate with my cat and dog using cat and dog sounds the whole day.
Where did these kids come from?
I don't know.
Did you ever make a resolution like any of those in your childhood, Monty?
Nor did I. I will start a staring contest with my best friend in the middle of class one day. Yeah, good. Yeah, I like that. I will come up with the silliest face ever and wear it to school. Yeah, that's simple. Anybody can do that. I will resolve to start a new trend by wearing only one color for a whole week. I bet that's a girl. I resolved to speak in pig Latin for a whole day during school.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you may not get too far with your teachers. I will sing instead of speak for a whole day.
That's interesting.
I like it. That's great. At the end of the show today, we're going to close out the show in memory of a good friend of ours, Tom Storms, a recovery musician who passed away. And we just want to, before we even get to that part of the show, I just want to say to his family, Lord bless you guys and keep you. And may the peace that passes all understanding guard your heart and your family today. We'll talk more about Tom here in a few minutes. But getting to the topic here, these are five powerless resolutions. And we'll talk about each one of them a little bit. Number one, and probably the most popular. What do you think the most popular one is, Roger?
Lose weight.
Yeah, there you go. Lose 20 pounds. Instead, eat foods that don't shorten my lifespan considerably. Realizing losing 20 pounds is a stupid New Year's resolution because I don't have control over pounds. I only have control over what I put in my mouth on a habitual basis. Pounds go up or down on their own regardless. Very true. Absolutely. That's some good insight. That's why that's a stupid resolution. Have you ever made a health-oriented resolution ever, Roger?
I would venture to say I've probably made every stupid resolution once upon a time in my life, for sure. But always the weight thing, yeah.
Yeah.
You gorge yourself like crazy from Thanksgiving through New Year's Eve, And then you wake up New Year's Day and go, oh my gosh, I got to lose some weight.
Right.
I got to exercise. I got to join the gym. On and on. I got to do this. I got to do that. On and on and on.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And talk doesn't change anything.
So if you're wondering what this topic has to do with recovery, there is, I'm not going to give it away yet, but there is a running theme in all five of these, which we'll discuss here in a minute. So on the losing weight thing, so I started in October, pretty much, not strictly, but pretty much eating the Mediterranean diet, which is fish, poultry, fruits and vegetables. I'm not a big veggie guy, but so you can supplement it with fruit. And very little carbs. I have to have some carbs, and everybody does. I have to have some because of my diabetes. And so I wasn't going to wait for New Year's resolution to do that. I just decided that, you know, it was time. And so anyway, I started doing that, and a day turned into two, and two into a week, and a week into a month, and so forth and so on. And I have come to the point now, I've lost about 33 pounds, and I am no longer on insulin. Insulin free. Insulin is important, but it can, if you're taking insulin, it can make it a little harder to lose weight if you're trying to drop weight. I still take metformin, which is actually very good for your heart as well. But the insulin, no more insulin. And I'll tell you why I'm able to do that, and it has to do with the running theme through all of these. The losing weight, I did the resolution to lose weight or start exercising or whatever almost every year until about 5 years ago. I just said, nah. Number two, what do you think number two might be, Roger?
I don't know. What is number two?
Number two is quit smoking.
Oh, yeah.
My New Year's resolution is, and this is something that's interesting. A lot of people will tell you what their resolution is going to be before New Year's Day, right? On New Year's Day, 2024, I am making the resolution to lose weight or to quit smoking. Hand me a cigarette, would you? You know, Or I'm gonna put the bong down. I'm like, no more pot for me, man. You know, So
I'm gonna stop drinking.
Yeah.
On New Year's Day.
Well, that's actually number three, which we'll talk about here in a minute. But yeah, I mean, so we get informed of what the resolution is going to be, and of course, a lot of people respond by saying, "Well, if you're serious, why don't you just quit today?" Well, my answer to that was because I don't want to. Today. I wait till 2024 or whatever year it is, 1980, whatever it is, which when I think about it is ludicrous. So that makes quit smoking the second stupidest resolution on the planet. Instead, invent a time machine and go back to the 1920s when no one knew smoking was another way of saying, I've decided to commit slow suicide and enjoy it. Smoke strictly during that time period, so at least you can pretend you didn't know. Have the empathy that smoking is for total losers. The Marlboro Man is not cool anymore. Neither is Joe Camel. Respect yourself. Which brings us to the third stupidest resolution: quit drinking. Instead, just forget this one. That's all it says. Just forget that. Here, have a beer. Quit. You're gonna quit drinking on New Year's Day? What about the hair of the dog? You've been up all night drinking. You know, you're not quitting on New Year's Day. Give me a break, liar. I never did have a resolution to quit drinking on New Year's Day. Never did. Because I knew better. Here's an interesting one. This comes in at number four, the fourth stupidest resolution. Start being on time to work. Okay, so that would suggest that you're not being on time to work, right? You still got a job? Well, you know how we were talking about how this is a different world today? I guess you could be late to work every day and no one cares. I know a couple people that don't take the etiquette of being on time to work or even showing up for work. They don't take it too seriously. And, you know, they call in whenever they want to, and they keep their jobs. I'm blown away by that.
Is a fact today.
And yep. I think one of the reason is because in some jobs, it's really hard to get people to do those jobs. So they're not going to fire you. Now you're late or you've used up all your sick time.
Right.
And you call in anyway. Yeah, we
plus
just
they
can't
can say they're working from home because that's a big deal since COVID.
Yes.
People don't go to office anymore.
No. People don't
they don't want to go to the office anymore.
People have their own stapler.
Right.
So the answer to this is instead of being on time for work, realize conventional jobs are dinosaurs one decade away from the ice age. Yeah. Quit my job, start a business, hire people and yell at them when they're late until the robots come, then fire everyone and buy some robots who are notoriously punctual. Do not ever let the bots have rights. If your robots go on strike for any reason, physically destroy them all and buy new ones. Man, this is going to be so much easier than dealing with humans. I can't wait.
That is scary. That is scary right there.
Yeah. And, you know, tongue in cheek, but AI's here, man.
Yep.
AI's here. And it's getting real creepy.
It is.
It's getting real creepy. Have you ever talked about something with somebody and then had that topic show up on social media or on your phone or any of that kind of thing? You ever experienced that?
Well, one, I don't pay much attention to social media anymore, so I wouldn't know if they were talking about something we had talked about.
Uh-huh.
To be honest with you, I just don't. I frankly don't care.
Right.
I don't care.
So I'm on social media all the time because of the radio show.
Sure.
You know, and doing my homework and my due diligence and all that kind of stuff. And the listeners, the population of listeners we have there. And it's very interesting to me. I know Marsh and I were talking about Traeger barbecue grills one day. And we were in the living room and my Alexa unit, which is attached to our security system in our home, it was actually turned off, supposedly not hearing anything we said. And as soon as I turned it back on, an ad showed up for Traeger grills. What's that about? And then I got bombarded with Traeger grill and barbecue ads on Facebook for the next week.
Wow.
So don't tell me those things ain't listening when you turn them off, because they are. Yeah, so that's pretty wild. Okay. Number five, we're at the last one here. I'm going to resolve to start saving money. Well, instead of doing that, start making so much money that it's impossible not to save it. And this is what you do. This is the key. Say to yourself, money is easy to make out loud 500 times a day until it becomes true. Just manifest it, dude. There's a whole craze out there right now. And I hate to say it. It's even within the church, some churches. And that is this whole idea of manifesting your reality. Just manifest it, man. Just,
what does that mean?
Just manifest your health. If you've got cancer, manifest the healing. Just say over and over again, I am healed, I am healed, I am healed. Just manifest it, baby. I'm hearing this. I'm hearing this from well-meaning supposedly born again believers, that a lot of them come out of the prosperity movement or the New Apostolic Reformation or, you know, the Bethel Church Elevation Worship Group, those guys, Hillsong, you know, but it's very popular within those groups. You know, how do you feel today? I don't feel too good. So I'm going to manifest some positive vibes. Wow. And I've had friends that, you know, how you doing, Monty? Well, yeah, you know, I'm dealing with some cellulitis in my leg. Just manifest it away. Claim your right as a born-again believer, lean on the Holy Spirit, and manifest that thing away. Okay.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but that's just wackadoodle, I think. So why I don't make New Year's resolutions? This was sent in by a gentleman named Preston Eli. New Year's resolutions don't work because they imply, and I first of all, let me preface, I agree with this guy. This is great. New Year's resolutions don't work because they imply that you're not already trying to accomplish them. A healthy, well-balanced, successful life should be the standard every day of every year of your entire life. It should never appear out of the blue as a stupid New Year's resolution on some special day. Rather, it has to be a lifestyle. They also don't work because they're focused on outer, superficial things that you have no control over. Losing weight is superficial. Being a healthy person is foundational. Values are more powerful than goals. Goals are superficial. Values are fundamental. Goals are directional. Values are the drivers. If you have a goal to lose weight but don't value health, I promise you will fail.
That's good.
Really, really well written. If you have a goal to lose weight but don't value health, you'll fail. So goals are nothing, man, if they don't have something to fuel them, and that's the value that you put on whatever it is that you're trying to improve on, you know. So I said earlier that these all had something in common with each other, and what I want to touch on here is what that is, and that is powerlessness. Left to my own devices, I am powerless to lose weight. I am powerless to quit smoking. I am powerless to quit drinking. I'm powerless to save money, and I'm powerless to be responsible on the job. Left to my own devices. Because left to my own devices, I'm selfish and self-centered, and I screw this all up. These are powerless resolutions if you're trying to do them on your own strength. And you don't have to be an alcoholic or a drug addict to understand that. We have all made resolutions and didn't stick to them because we tried to depend on our own power to do them. And that doesn't work at all.
Nope.
You know, Roger, can you think of something that you really wanted to accomplish and you tried really hard on your own power and you failed miserably?
Well, I would say that most of my life, whenever I set some kind of goal and didn't have assistance or power outside of myself to help reach that goal, it wasn't accomplished. Because, frankly, even before I ever drank or whatever, I was selfish and self-centered and self-seeking. I needed to be accountable, responsible, transparent about who I am and what I am, and have somebody help guide and direct me with direction. I needed orderly direction. I needed godly direction. I needed assistance from outside my own thinking to accomplish something that was beyond my human power.
Yeah. Yeah.
That just had happened to me all the time.
Sure.
I mean, that's why I stopped making resolutions. I mean, all those kinds of things, you know, I talk about all the time today that the only power I have is the power of the moment I'm in. I have the power to make a good decision in the moment I'm in, and then do the next moment the same way. I have all the power that I need in a moment. But what I don't have the power always is what the result is when I took the right, I did the right thing at the right time for the right reason. But if the result doesn't match up to what I expected, then I have to have the understanding that that's outside of my power. I don't have the power to execute the result that I wanted. So when I'm free from, you know, A plus B equals C, and if I don't get C, then A and B were wrong. I don't do that anymore. I try not to do that anymore. I'm not that guy anymore. I don't set myself up to fail by setting an expectation that wasn't even reasonable or attainable in the beginning.
Yeah.
So now I'm free from that. I do the right thing at the right time for the right reason some of the time, most of the time, but I leave the results in God's hands. And when I do that, I'm free from being disappointed, upset. Why not me? You know, and all that stuff just bores me to death today.
Yeah.
And I'm over it. I'm just over it.
And I think that's one of the keys to what Dr. Alan Berger would call emotional sobriety. You know,
yes.
not.
I got to tell you a funny story. So
yeah, go ahead.
My chiropractor's wife is a woman who does quantum biofeedback, which I'd never heard of. Long story short, won't go into that. But the point being, I'm sitting in her office for the fourth session with her. And she looks at me and she says, because she does a check sort of physiologically, mentally, emotionally. She's looking at everything that makes us up.
Yeah.
And then is grading it and how are you doing? And it's all based on all the enzymes in your body and your organs and how are they performing and everything. It's a total body scan, if you will. So she looks at me and she goes, you seem so, she just says to me, she's, because you go into the office and the lighting's low and it's very calm and I'm very relaxed. And she goes, Roger, you just seem so calm. And I go, that's because I am. So her point was, is that it seems like emotionally and spiritually, I'm in a really solid, healthy place, even though parts of my body, because of my age and whatever,
sure,
aren't as healthy. That was her point. And I went, that's a really interesting observation, because she doesn't know me personally. She's looking at body scans and organ function and all these things that would be indicators of how you're doing spiritually or emotionally or psychologically. And I went, that's good to hear. I mean, it was encouraging to hear that.
You see, and you and I have differed on this a little bit, but I think it's just a matter of semantics. This is where I say happiness is overrated, but what we really need to go after is serenity and joy. And
I'm a joy guy. I'm a joy guy.
Yeah, because happiness, I say, is based on your happenings. But if my happenings going on around me fit my agenda or fit my expectations, that's a good day. But what if they don't?
I don't do that anymore. That's what I've learned not
right,
to do.
Right. Because if they don't, can I still have serenity? Yes.
Yes.
Can I still live 100%. In the joy of the Lord? Yes.
Yes.
And by the way, it's the joy of the Lord that's my strength. Not mine. His joy.
Right.
That's my strength. Yes. And when we are dependent on the divine, when we're dependent on God for these things, then it doesn't really matter what our circumstances are. It doesn't even really matter what our physical health is. Does it hurt? Yeah. Does it ache? Is it annoying? Is it irritating? Is it limit what we'd like to do? Sure. But in the midst of all of that, people will say, how in the world do you have that kind of joy? How do you keep smiling? Well, you know how? It's not me, dude.
It's right.
The spirit of the living God that lives and works through me to create that. You know, I cannot take the credit for it. It is God 100%.
One of the great definitions of anonymous, right, is without credit.
Without credit.
And I love that.
So this whole thing, if you want to change the direction of your life, if you want to learn, first of all, you've got to value what you want to change it to before you make a resolution to do that. You need to have value for it, or you need to have a desire. If you've got a sin in your life, if you've got a behavior that is destructive going on in your life, you've got to have some sort of desire to stop that before you can even accomplish overcoming it. I mean, you know what I mean? You got to have, you know, because there were things in my life, I'll be honest with you, even as a born-again believer, there were things in my life at one time. If you ask me, do you really want to overcome that? Well, not entirely. I kind of like it, if that truth be known. Well, guess what? If that's your mindset, God's a gentleman. He'll let you have it. You know?
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah.
I think that's true of all of us if we're actually honest with ourselves.
Yes.
And your pet stapler, we have pet sins.
We do have pet sins.
We hug them and we pet them because they don't seem to be so disastrous.
People that come into the rooms of recovery, when I work with them, and I know you've experienced this too, I'll ask them, why are you here? Somebody show up in my office, you know, can you help me? In fact, I got a call yesterday from a mom. My son wants to know if you'll sponsor him. He's currently in the county jail. And the discussion I'm going to have with this gentleman is going to be, why are you here? What do you want? What is it that you want? And 9 times out of 10, what I'm hearing is, I want the consequences to change. I want the pain to stop. I want to stop disappointing my loved ones. You know, I want the judge to show me favor. You know, we want the uncomfortableness of our actions to shift. But we don't want to stop doing what we're doing.
Oops, problem. I want all the results of my actions to change, but I don't want to change my actions.
Right.
That's a problem.
That is a problem. And so when I worked at the Adult and Teen Challenge Drug and Alcohol Recovery Center, I would ask the guys all the time, why are you here? And those were the responses we would get. I'm like, what if I told you that the reason you're here, whether you know it or not, is to learn how to be a maximum service to God and the people he puts in your life? That is why you're here. It has little to do with you quitting smoking, drinking, and all the other junk. Those are symptoms. We got to take care of those. But you might be here for a higher calling than what you think. And, you know, some of them would be like, what? I mean, I don't want to get religious.
Yeah, that's exactly what you hear all the time. I don't want to get religious. And I look and I say, this has nothing to do with
nothing religion. To do with religion.
Nothing.
No. So this is what I love about steps 10 and 11. And I'm just going to read from the, if you want your life to change and you value a new life in 2024, when you go to bed at night, try this. First of all, get yourself a big book. or go online to AA.org and look up page 86 Into Action. Interesting title for this chapter, Into Action. So when you go to bed at night, when we retire at night, we constructively review our day. So constructively review our day. We're not reviewing our day to beat ourselves up. We're not doing any of that. We're being constructive about it, right? So these are the questions we ask. Was I resentful? Was I selfish today? Was I dishonest? Was I afraid? Do I owe an apology? Have I kept something to myself, which should have been discussed with another person at once? Was I kind and loving towards all? Oops. What could I have done better? Was I thinking of myself most of the time? Roger, I'm all I think about all day long. Tell you the truth. Yeah. Or am I thinking more of the things that I can pack into the stream of life? These are important questions. You want to change the direction you're going in 2024. You need to look at some of the root causes, not the symptoms, of why you're going in a direction you don't want to go? Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, afraid? Do we owe an apology? Et cetera, et cetera. We've got to ask ourselves that. And then we need to be honest. Write it down and write down the answer and then look at it. My sponsor had me do that. He said, I want you to write that down. I don't want you to answer this as we're talking. I want you to write it down, then I want you to be truthful with the answer, and then I want you to look at that answer. Boy. Then, on awakening, in the morning, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. So I'm thinking about my day, right? What's going on? Got to have a plan. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, this is interesting. I love this. We consider our plans for the day. Oop, let's back up. But before we begin to even do that, it says we ask God. That means we're going to pray. You don't think prayer is in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous? You haven't read the book. We ask God to direct our thinking. Why? Because it's our thinking that's screwed up.
Absolutely.
Our thinking's broke. We my sponsor told me when I first got into recovery, he says, you know what? Your thinker's broke. I said, you got something for that, dude? I wanted an instant fix.
You got something I could take for that?
Yeah, I got something I could take for that. Instant fix. That's what we want. But no, it says we ask God to direct our thinking. Especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity. Hoo-hoo-hoo. Dishonest or self-seeking motives. So direct my thinking, Lord. In particular, these selfish, self-seeking ways of mine. Because they'll get me in trouble every time. It says later on that if we do this, then our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. If we do what? If we ask God to change our thinking. It doesn't say we change our thinking. So these are powerless resolutions if you think you're going to do it.
Yep.
Nowhere in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous does it says to say that you and I work on our character defects. It says we turn them over to God.
Humbly on our knees, we ask him.
On our knees. Yeah. And that's a whole posturing thing. That, you know, we're recognizing that there's a God and that we're not him. It goes on to say, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely upon it. Rely on what? Our relationship with God. That's what we're relying on. And it says, we ask especially for freedom from self-will and are careful to make no requests for ourselves only. One of the things I hear in 12-step fellowships.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
Yeah, what am I going to say?
That you can't pray for yourself.
That you can't pray for yourself. I hear it all the time.
That's ridiculous. That's not what that says.
That's not right. What that says.
As long as it's not a selfish motive. You have to pray for yourself, because without praying for yourself, you have nothing to offer to anybody
else. Well, listen, a person chairing the 12-step support meeting says, now remember, the topic is prayer, but you're not supposed to pray for yourself. And so now we'll close in prayer. God, grant me the serenity. Whoa, wait a minute. You just prayed for yourself. I thought we couldn't do that. Yeah. So we especially ask for freedom from self-will and are careful to make no requests for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves. However, if others will be helped, we are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. See, so he's telling us what we can and should not pray for, right? So you want to know how to pray? You say, I'm new to this whole thing. I don't know about this God stuff, but I'm willing to give it a shot. I've never prayed before. Okay. Simply ask God to change your thinking and to help you be divorced of self-seeking motives. Just do that. Try that.
That's too hard, Monty.
I know. Well, I don't want, again, I'm not into church. I don't see anything here about church.
Where did church and religion come up when you and I are meeting with somebody new? What are you talking about church and religion for? We're talking about relationship here.
Yeah.
We're talking about how you relate to a God that you don't know.
That's right. That's right. However, this is very interesting. There are many helpful books also. It gives some suggestions on how you can get some help with this. Suggestions about these may be obtained from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. Be quick to see where religious people are right. Make use of what they offer. Why does he say that, you think?
Because there's truth there. We're seeking truth.
Yeah.
And so why not go to someone who understands truth better than we do?
Yeah.
Why would I not do that?
Sure.
If you're in a job situation, you go to someone who's got more experience in a job than you do to ask the questions, to get the answers that you need in order to do the job that you're applying for.
That's right.
Or that you're in or you're new. What I don't understand why. I just laugh now, but I was that guy.
So me too.
I had all those
me too.
Questions. that didn't require an answer because they were stupid. When someone point that out to me, it's like, you know, the yeah buts and the what ifs, all that stuff that kept me from just being in a moment and seeking God's direction.
I hear you.
It's that simple.
Be quick to see where religious people are right. Not just do that.
Where they are right.
Yeah.
If they're wrong, they don't go there.
Right. Plenty of religious people are wrong, but it doesn't say only choose the ones that are perfect. Just look where they're right and then make use of that. Don't bash the church in the meeting.
Right. When I first got into AA, and it didn't take me long to change this because it was so stupid, but I used to say I'm a recovering Catholic.
Mm.
And I stopped saying that because that, frankly, one of those things again. Well, first of all, I thought it was funny or whatever. But when I look back at 12 years of Catholic school, I don't regret any of it. I had a great education. I met a lot of good friends. I played a lot of sports. It wasn't bad.
Yeah.
So I wasn't recovered. I didn't learn the things that I needed to learn because I wasn't present in school anyway. It had nothing to do with the church or the school. It was me.
Sure.
And when I finally realized that everywhere I went, the problem went with me. It was me, and it wasn't church, school, government, boss, wife, children, friend. It was me. Now what? Now I need help outside of me.
Oh, yeah.
How about pray to God that you don't know? Oh, thank you.
Right? Right?
Right? And then we give up the fight. We stop doing all this yeah-but stuff.
I know.
We just go, be quiet and ask God. What?
You know what it comes down to, Roger, is we want what we want when we want it, and we want it now.
That's my motto my whole life, not anymore.
Sheesh.
I don't want what I want. I want what he wants.
And you're right. So if you don't, I mean, I hear this a lot. How do I work with others? Well, there's a chapter in the book called Working with Others.
Read the directions.
Right? How do I work the 12 steps? There's a chapter in the book that says how it works. You know, how do I develop a relationship with my creator? Read the book. Talk to people that have a relationship with the creator. You want what I have? Do what I do, you knucklehead.
It's really simple.
It is really simple.
It's so simple that it just becomes laughable when we can't figure it out.
But I'm agnostic. Then read We Agnostics. There's a chapter about that too.
You know what We Agnostics, this is what's funny. You know what the definition of agnostic is?
Yeah, but give me what you were going to share.
Without information.
Yes. A meaning
without information. It's not a badge you wear to show that you're something special.
That's right.
The definition means without information.
Yep.
So why don't you seek more information.
Get some more information
that you have.
Are you lacking? Are you without? Are you missing something? Well, let's look for it. Let's look. So A or ag meaning none or no, gnostic meaning knowledge, no knowledge, no information. You know, I love We Agnostics because I can be.
I do too.
And I've shared this with you before. I am with the listeners. You know, I have all the faith in the world when my day's going my way. But as soon as I'm getting sued, or you know, I go out to the car and the tire's flat.
Or Walmart's closed.
Or Walmart's closed.
Said it was open.
Or the lady at Staples is being rude. Then I'm agnostic, just like anybody else. I'm doubtful. Okay, God, you know I'm busy today. Where are you? Open these doors for me. I got things to do. You know what I mean?
I just laugh now.
I know. I
laugh at myself. I look up and smile and go, I get it. Shut up, Roger. Move on.
That's why I love the fact that chapter is titled We Agnostics. Because we can all be that way. Okay. So if you're making resolutions and you're leaning on your own power, every one of those resolutions have no power. They just don't. Yeah. Let me know how they're working for you if you don't think we're right. Let us know at the end of the year how well you stuck to it. And if you did stick to it, I'll bet you the credit goes to somebody other than you. I'll bet you.
Boom.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. All right. Before we talk about our good friend who here recently passed away, any closing thoughts, Roger, on the topic powerless resolutions?
I love the topic of powerlessness because somehow we conjure up the idea that we have the power to accomplish things that we don't have the power to do.
I know.
The fact that we're making a resolution is a testament that our whole life we didn't have the power to do what now we're making a resolution to do on our own power, which we never could do because we didn't have the power to do it. Why did we make a resolution? It's like a comedy routine. It's hilarious.
It really is. It's like who's on
Why
first.
Why do we do this? And we set ourselves up to fail, and then we go down the rabbit hole of depression and everything else because I failed again. No, you just set yourself up to fail. You set up the scenario what was going to guarantee your failure.
That's right.
Get out of the freaking way. Get out of the way. Ask God for help, and boom, see what happens. Just pay attention.
Pay attention.
Philippians 4:4, pray about everything, worry about nothing.
Absolutely.
You don't have power to change everything.
I love it.
Come on.
I love it. I don't like the Bible. Have you ever read the Bible? Well, Leviticus.
No. You don't like church either. Have you ever been to church? No, not since I was a kid when my parents made me go.
Yeah,
oh, well, maybe you ought to go on your own and see what happens.
There's one guy, there's more than one, obviously, but this one guy would say, in this one group that I would attend, I don't like church because it makes me think about when my parents drug me there. They drug me. So I asked him one day, I said, did you have a grass driveway, a paved driveway, a gravel driveway? I'm just wondering, how did you get hurt as they drug you to church? Well, they didn't really drag me. Oh, so they didn't drag you to church. Well, they made me go. Oh, so against your will? Well, no, I wanted to please my parents. Oh, okay, so they didn't make you go. Well, how often did you go? Well, I went twice.
Yeah, did anything bad happen as a result of your parents taking you to church?
Yeah, did you?
Did anything bad happen as a result of your parents taking you to church? Well, no, I just didn't want to go. Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Shows that are coming up. Next Monday, on next Monday's show, Roger, is an honest self-assessment, a step forward discussion. That'll be the topic for basically talking about self-inventory. And then on Solutions for Life today with our good friend and certified alcohol and drug counselor level 2, Mr. Dave Fleming, the topic on that show will be giving of ourselves, men's difficulty in sharing. That'll be the topic then. And of course, and then the following Monday, I think it's the 22nd, Couples in Recovery. This will be our first installment of Couples in Recovery featuring my good friends, Danny and Darlene C. from Lebanon, Oregon. They'll be on the show. They will be in the studio, so you don't want to miss that, talking about their journey in recovery solo and then how they met. You know, there's this philosophy in some groups, don't date your first year. And that might be wise, but that's not in the book. There's also philosophy, you know, don't marry another person in recovery. Those are absolutes that should never be absolutes, and they'll prove it. So that'll be exciting. And of course, every Wednesday is our short Monty Mann's recovery meditorial. Fridays is Walking Through the Language of the Heart with myself and Chris S., looking at and unpacking Bill W.'s grapevine writings from 1944 to 1970 in the book Language of the Heart. But if you want to sink your teeth into some great 12-step history, you want to listen to those shows. Now, of course, you don't have to listen on that day. You can always go to any of the podcasting platforms and catch up on any of these shows by visiting us at take12radio.com on your internet dial. All righty. This is a little somber here. I got a text from a good friend on social media that Tom Storms, recovery recording artist, who has contributed to this show greatly in the past, passed away on December 26th, of 2023 in his home with his wife and children. And Tom was born in New York. He lived in New Jersey before retiring to Florida to be near the beach. He was a software engineer for IBM, programming big frame government computers. His passion, besides his family and dogs, was his music. He wrote, composed, and sang beautiful spiritual songs. I considered him a recovery recording artist. He was writing his last song just weeks before he passed. He died sober after 37 years of sobriety. Tom is survived by his wife, Marty, of 35 years, children and grandchildren. Tom's love of music started early. As the youngest in a large family, he was exposed to a large variety of musical tastes of his older siblings and parents. Pop, jazz, folk, country, rock and roll, show tunes, classical, you name it, somebody in his home was listening to it. At age 9, Tom got his first guitar and learned the first few chords from his brother. The rest, as they say, is history. Throughout the first half of his life, Tom worked with various bands that played in New York and New Jersey club scenes, hoping for recognition and success. But at some point, the disappointments and lifestyle took their toll, and he dropped out of the musician life to focus on a business career, family, and restoring his spirit. Although he was no longer playing music for pay, Tom would occasionally pick up the guitar or sit at the piano just to enjoy playing as he did in his youth. It was during these times of relaxation and joy that the seeds of his original spirit-oriented songs began to grow, and his love for music was rejuvenated. Along with remembering his love for music, Tom gained a recognition of and adoration for the spirit that animates us all and lives so powerfully in song. It's hard for me to read this because Tom and I were good friends, and I loved his music. I really did, and you'll hear more of it. We're going to be playing a song of his at the end of every show on Monday for this month. Well, during one of our discussions, Tom shared with me his conviction in every instance of life, an attitude of gratitude and service can transform life's difficulties into blessings. In 2020, Tom began a partnership with Creative Soul Records and their partner company, Positive Spin Songs. With his music, Tom has always hoped to convey a simple message. Whatever you do, do it with love. Here's Tom Storms.
Father, I've got questions for you. Like, why is the sky so blue? How did the world begin? Where do I fit in? But the biggest question of them all baffles scholars in their hallowed hall. Why am I here? What's the point? Like a bolt, the answer came. Crack of lightning in my brain. All the wondering disappeared with with a simple message, very clear. Like a glove, do it with love, we'll go hand in hand. Love is your purpose, right where you stand. Whatever you do, do it with love. Out among the stars, on a mission of the heart, my journey's in full swing. So tell me everything. Carry those in need. Forget yourself and earthly greed. Comfort the weary, down so low. Pass it on so they will know. Whatever you do, do it with love. That action and purpose fit like a
carrying a message of depth and weight, Mr. Tom Storms. Until our next broadcast, this is the Monty Man along with the rest of the Take 12 Recovery Radio family, and we are wishing God's perfect serenity for you.
This has been a broadcast of KHLT Recovery Broadcasting.
This has been a Chicken and a Pig production.
Kitty, 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 kitty. Meow, meow, meow.
Woof, woof.